2-2. Well hit down the left field line. Way back and gone.
Welcome to Walk It Off. We're going to do things a little bit differently. Ashley Chavez spoke with Kenneth Arthur about what everybody witnessed over the weekend in the NFL. So we're going to start the podcast off with their interview. Kenneth is a contributor to Sports on Earth, but this article he actually wrote for Rolling Stone. So Ashley, I'm going to leave it to you. And then Gemma and I are going to dig into the postseason race, anything and everything, Kevin Durant, the weird things that he's doing. We're going to talk about all of that. So stick around. But first, let's start things off with Ashley and Kenneth.
All right, guys, I'm here with Kenneth Arthur. Thank you so much for joining us to speak on this issue. Obviously, we're talking about Colin Kaepernick and the NFL and taking the knee and all that. So let's get started. Breaking down what you saw over this past week in the NFL, what stuck out to you the most?
I think it's interesting. I think that it challenged people in the league, players, coaches, owners, executives, to, in one hand, you know, show their cards as far as what they believe. And I also think to some degree to placate to an idea or to... because the world was watching. So, you know, if it's Jerry Jones or if it's the Pittsburgh Steelers or the Seattle Seahawks or whatever, you knew that everyone was watching and that what you were going to do, whether you were going to stand, kneel, stay in the locker room, whatever, people were watching. Millions of people were watching and also judging you harshly for kneeling or harshly for not kneeling or whatever. Like, everybody was going to have an opinion. And I think some of the moves that were made, they just, some of them felt disingenuous or, you know, that they were just like, well, let's just get around it. And I think that the ceremony itself, it is, people treat it like a tradition like any other, when in reality it's not a tradition. You know, there were changes in 2009 and, you know, that may have made it required of teams to come out for the anthem. It's not something that was ever aired on TV, and except for like the Super Bowl. You know, it wasn't something that people were watching until Colin Kaepernick, you know, made a statement in the preseason of 2016. And even then, the first two times that he did it, nobody knew. It wasn't a story. It was not a story until the third preseason game when he was in uniform and he noticed that he was sitting on the bench. It's not like that when Kaepernick first did it, he went to the media and said, hey, guess what? This is what I'm doing and yada, yada, yada. He did it. He was doing it. Someone pointed it out. They asked him about it. He made a very bold statement, a very honest statement of what he was feeling about why he did that and regarding police brutality in America. And then people got very angry. Some people got very angry, and then a bunch of other people were like, I'm going to put my flag, you know, no pun intended, metaphorically speaking, in the ground and say, no, he has every right to do this. And then I think, like, a flash forward to a year later when, you know, President Trump is making bold statements about what he thinks of these quote-unquote sons of bitches, you know, that people had to be like, okay, now there's no more really ignoring this. And I think that there were some people still ignoring it. And I think that there were some people that were like, well, I don't want you to stand or kneel. Don't even come out of the locker room. None of us will. Nobody will make a judgment. I mean, and even though the final judgment has been, well, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Seattle Seahawks and the Tennessee Titans or, you know, whatever, they were flatly all, you know, disrespecting the anthem, maybe if you thought that they were in the locker room, but I think in reality, maybe it was just more along the lines of nobody's making a statement, and you know, and I think that's fine too. I don't think you have to make a statement. You can make a statement, but you don't have to, and I think that's something that we learned as well this weekend.
Yeah, exactly. Which is, it's crazy that this is even a thing right now. But you did mention how the president did call them SOBs, you know, and we're all in our social media bubble right now, so I'm seeing like people very angry about that. But of course, there are other people that are proud of this. in your research over the last couple of days, what have you found is the main reaction, or is it pretty mixed?
I wrote a story this week for Rolling Stone, and it sort of went over a bit of the reaction from the people who are angry with those who choose to protest during the national anthem. And I think, again, I would use the word disingenuous. And I would say, you know, that a lot of it seems like a way to guide your anger about, you know, something else. And I'm not saying it's all rooted strictly necessarily in racism, but, you know, a lot of it can do with, you know, feelings of racism that could be deep-seated or could be to the surface. But to say that you care about the flag or the national anthem in a way that says that if a person changes their body position during the singing of the national anthem, that you know, makes a huge statement about what they believe about their country. And I think that, you know, Colin Kaepernick did say, you know, that he wasn't proud to be an American at this time or at that time, and maybe still today. But and I think that it's okay for a person to not be proud of their nation. It's okay. That's their right. That's what the nation is, you know, rooted in, is our right to have an opinion about it and to express it. And if you're not allowed to express your opinion about the country that you're living in, then you're living in a dictatorship, and you're living in a totalitarian society where you're not allowed to express your feelings of anger or regret or disdain or happiness or whatever. Like, you're not supposed to, if you're not supposed to say it, then, you know, how are you supposed to improve? And we're always supposed to be making changes to improve. You know, I don't want to debase it or, you know, simplify it, but it's the same. If you're building a football team, you know, since we're talking about football, if you're building a football team and you say, you're not allowed to say that this team is bad, and you're not allowed to say that this quarterback is bad, and you're not allowed to say that these owners are bad, and you're not allowed to say that these are changes that need to be made to this team, and your team goes 2-14 every year, well, then how? Well, then what's the? Why wouldn't you feel some pain or regret or disdain or anger over that? Why wouldn't you want to stand up and say something and say, no, let's change the culture, you know, because that's, mm-hmm. that's ultimately what it comes down to. Let's change the culture. So, you know, for a person to, you know, sit down during the national anthem and say, I want to change the culture for the better of this country, it's not against the, you know, the heritage or the patriotism of this country. And those same people, some of the same people out there that are saying it's disrespectful fly Confederate flags, which is the antithesis to the United States of America and the changes that we made over 100 years ago to hopefully and obviously make the country better as it is today. So, you know, that's sort of those things where it's a contradiction and I think a bit disingenuous for some of those people.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. In reference to your Rolling Stone article, which was fantastic, highly recommend it for everyone. You did, like, as you mentioned earlier, too, in your answer, that this all started in 2009, and that just blew my mind, because even though I have been watching sports my entire life, you're right, we didn't ever see that. We only saw it in the Super Bowl. Why is this the first time that I had that aha moment? You know, I've not really seen that anywhere else except for your article.
Well, you know, it's interesting because the national anthem being sung before or during a sporting event in America started in 1918 in the World Series game, Yankees and Red Sox, maybe, I forget exactly, but the Yankees. And, you know, World War I was going on, and it just sort of was this organic moment that, you know, people felt a grand sense of patriotism because you're at war and it's you're fighting for your country. And a lot of people, you know, we're also thinking about, are we fighting? What about the baseball players here? They're fighting for a game. Should they be fighting for the country? There was so much wrapped up at that moment in the national anthem at a sporting event. And as that goes on year for year, wartime, not at wartime, either way, it doesn't really matter, because you're going to lose that sense of, what are we doing here? Why are we singing the national anthem? Or, you know, it's just going to be lost because it's done hundreds of times per year in the NFL. It's done thousands of times in baseball games. It's just done so much that it's anything that you do that much is going to lose meaning. And even in the 50s, the owner of, I believe, the Pittsburgh Pirates, I could be wrong on that. I think it was Pittsburgh Pirates, could have been Boston Red Sox, you know, was like, well, no, Baltimore Orioles. He said, I don't want you to, you're not even respecting this. I'm going to take it away. The Baltimore City Council said, no, you can't take away the national anthem. Under pressure, he put it back in. But he was right. People don't care. I mean, like, there's so many people that you can't sit during the national anthem. You can't kneel during the national anthem. You're not paying attention at all. There's hundreds of thousands, or if not thousands of people in the stands every week that are eating food, going to the bathroom, on their phones. It's hypocritical. And the fact that it only Colin Kaepernick is the main reason that the national anthem has any meaning today in America. And that's a fact.
Absolutely. I mean, you have people booing him while the national anthem is going on. Can you get any more disrespectful than that? It is truly, truly crazy. So do you feel that this experience with the owners, with everyone locking arms or going inside of locker rooms is a one and done kind of thing? I mean, I know the Steelers have already said that they're going to be out on the field during the national anthem. What can we expect from this upcoming week?
I think it's, I don't know if it's exactly a one and done situation, but I think it's a tough battle. I mean, they're all battles, but it's a tough war. I mean, the war on whether you want to call it the war on the national anthem or the war on protests during, you know, moments like this or whatever, it's a war, and it takes a long time. And so, like, this is, you know, this is one of the battles was this past weekend, and it was, you know, the largest scale such battle between, you know, this war. So, you know, frankly, like, Colin Kaepernick struck up a lot of conversation early last season, then it died down. And then maybe, you know, Eric Berry and Jeremy Lane and then a few other people, you know, then they're, excuse me, Marcus Peters, I may be confusing there, but, you know, then it's going to go up, and then it's going to go down. And then Marshawn Lynch and Michael Bennett in the preseason this year, it's like, oh, yeah, that's a thing, okay, and now it goes down. And then, frankly, Donald Trump basically gave it new life in a way that, you know, nobody has, and, you know, probably with some degree to his intention, to draw up another huge amount of attention to this. And just like it did after Kaepernick, just like it did after Bennett and Lynch, it will die down again, and then something else will happen. And I don't know to what degree or to what manner it's going to really, you know, pop up again, but it's going to keep popping up in some form or another. And, you know, who knows when that will end and how it will end and what the next pop will be. You know, maybe it's going to take a player, a white player of a certain degree to make a huge stance at some point during a game or before a game or in a press conference or something. Maybe it's going to take one of these, you know, white players, even if it's a Tom Brady who says, you know, who has been linked with Donald Trump with, you know, the Make America Great Again hat in his locker and all that kind of stuff. Maybe it's Tom Brady saying, I stand with Donald Trump. And, you know, and that's his right to do so as well. But maybe it's something like that where there's something that's going to spark it again, because it's going to be difficult to continue momentum after, you know, hundreds of players form some sort of protest. I don't think that staying in the locker room, you know, has a long... If anything, I still don't really care if every team stays in the locker room. I don't care if they choose to sing the national anthem, you know, less often. It wasn't the grand tradition that, you know, that it was being painted to be at a certain point. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how it develops. But in general, you know, the groundswell and the next wave of what makes it newsworthy again will be coming, but it's hard to see what it will be.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like we were talking about, a lot of people are involved now because of Donald Trump's involvement, so everyone has their opinion, everyone's saying something. And as we spoke about earlier, a lot of people are worried and think that the owners are being disingenuous and just worried about being bullied rather than standing for social injustice. And I believe, I mean, my favorite is hip-hop star Cardi B's opinion on this whole thing, where she said to the owners, if you really care about Colin Kaepernick's stance, you would give him a job, which is 100% true. Where do you think Colin will go this season? If anywhere, do you think he's going to get a job with any team?
It's difficult to say. I mean, Colin Kaepernick, at this point, if it was only about football skills, he would have signed a contract in March. So, you know, there is nothing about Colin Kaepernick's game that is preventing him from being in the NFL. You know, even people who want to point out and say, like, you know, he's not that great of a passer and, you know, he has to be in the right system and every, you know, and all of the above, it doesn't really matter. Joe Webb is in the NFL. You know, there's not as a quarterback. So, and, you know, and no offense to Joe Webb, maybe he has every, you know, he has his skills too, but, you know, Colin Kaepernick had 16 touchdowns, 4 interceptions last year. He knows what he's doing. He's not, I mean, I criticized Colin Kaepernick for years as, even during the height when he went to the Super Bowl, I said, yeah, he's an exciting guy, but this can't, you know, I don't think that, you know, as far as the quarterback, he has a ways to go. Same as Cam Newton. I don't think there's a large gap between Cam Newton and Colin Kaepernick. And Cam Newton, you know, is one of the highest paid players. He's considered a franchise star, one of the best, you know, for some, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, yada, yada, yada. But Colin Kaepernick's not that far off for me. And there are certainly a number of places that should be employing him if they wanted to be a better football team and weren't going to, you know, put any politics in there. And I do, you know, agree with that rapper that, you know, if an owner, it's one thing for a Jerry Jones who, you know, is probably still the owner who I would say stands closest to Donald Trump on this issue. You know, to, you know, have his players avoid the, you know, cleverly avoid a protest during the national anthem. And then, you know, take a knee for a photo op-ish kind of moment. I think, like, there are those owners. And then there's also the owners, yeah, frankly, the ones that I believe stand firmly with the players and the protesters on this issue that could sign Colin Kaepernick, that have maybe the roster space or the money room and aren't doing it, and maybe they're afraid of dividing their locker room. Maybe they're just like, well, you know, we're not going to, you know, it's not going to help us that much. So, you know, and we don't know exactly what Colin Kaepernick's demands are. We don't know exactly what Colin Kaepernick's thoughts are in terms of returning to the NFL. And whether or not, you know, he wants a starting job. And I think that obviously plays a role into it. But maybe if there's a lot of things in the way, and maybe Colin Kaepernick never returning to the NFL is what's going to be the greatest thing for his cause and the greatest thing for the long-term future of the social changes that he wanted to make in America. And, you know, and maybe that's what it'll be, because who knows? We'll see what happens in the off season next year. I don't think that he's going to sign with the team this year, but in the off season next year, there's nothing completely unusual about a quarterback or a player in the NFL not having a season or two or even three. You know, Michael Vick, for much, much different reasons, missed some time, came back a few years later and was one of the, had a great season. So he could take a year or two, and then maybe a team, once the dust settles, will say, we'll bring him back. And he could have a future in the NFL 2018, 2019. But it would be a little bit surprising at this point for any team to bring him in.
Yeah, I agree. We'll have to wait and see. Kenneth, thank you so much for taking the time and providing your insight. This was fantastic. Looking forward to more work from you and looking forward to see what this NFL season brings.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, so by the time you are listening to this podcast, there's going to be 4, maybe 5 days left in the season. We've had a really busy week. We could know exactly who's going to be in the postseason, but it also could come all the way down to Sunday, one of the coolest days of the season where every team starts at the exact same time. I am specifically looking at the second NL wildcard spot right now, and we're also waiting for that second AL wildcard spot, which could be determined on Wednesday night if the Twins can beat the Indians. The Rockies are facing the Dodgers for their last series, so that could be a really important one. Dwayne Wade is headed to Cleveland. I'm not sure the city can handle that much heat, but I guess they'll find out. There's been a lot of running jokes about Kevin Durant trying to jump ship and head to Cleveland now and get another ring. We saw an unprecedented Sunday in the NFL. It may have been the first time I actually watched NFL football all day long. I will admit, after the president called for NFL owners to fire those kneeling in a game, I think we've been talking about something happening for a long time. In the offseason, we made predictions and we guessed and we wondered, and I don't know if we could have seen this coming, something of this magnitude. And then we saw Aaron Judge, who smacked his historical 50th home run of the season, setting a new rookie record. I'm Dani Wexelman. I'm with Gemma Kaneko right now. Gemma, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
It's your birthday, Gemma.
Yes, it is my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
It's always an exciting day. The weather is beautiful.
The weather is beautiful. It's the middle of the week.
You look great.
Oh, thank you. I wash my hair.
Oh, hey. You know what? It's really funny when people give me compliments and they're like, wow, your hair looks great. And I'm like, I washed it.
Exactly.
It's just that simple.
Just some soap, you know, some shampoo and conditioner.
Good old fashioned soap. Yep. Okay, so we're going to kick things off with Trend or Trash, and we're going to talk about celebrations now that I can see your face.
Yes.
Celebrations. Should teams who clinch a wild card spot but still have the ability to clinch the division be celebrating? So, for example, we just saw the Yankees clinch their wild card spot, but they're 3 back from the Red Sox as of Wednesday to win the division. But they celebrated. Trend or trash teams doing this?
Trend this.
Okay.
I'm going to trend this, but with some gradations, because I'm pro celebration in all aspects of sports.
Yes.
If you want to celebrate, great. Good for you. But I feel like just in quality, there should be a difference in celebration if you still can win the division.
Okay.
Like if you clinch a playoff spot and you're like, okay, well, like we're the Diamondbacks. We're not going to win the division, but we're totally in. It's wild card. We know how
right.
This is going to go. Yes, break it out. Have an amazing time. Like, go all the way.
Yeah.
But I do think that you need to scale it back a little bit if you could conceivably do the same celebration again in, like, 3 or 4 days.
Right.
You know? So maybe just, like, cut it a little bit shorter. Like, save the real good hype song just in case.
Save the
really
good hype song. Like, so the reason I thought about this is because Tim McMaster, he does a lot of stuff for MLB.com. On camera and off camera, he doesn't think that teams should be celebrating if they win the wild card and can still win the division. Now, what does celebrate mean by definition? Does that mean don't go smoke cigars and go rage for 3 days and go on a bender? I think that's what he was talking about, but I got to thinking, and I would love to trend this because I think that, listen, it's really hard to make the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
There are some teams that still haven't won a World Series. Sorry, Tampa Bay Rays.
Sorry, Mariners.
Sorry, Mariners. So I think
Nats.
That if Nats, should we keep going? No. Okay. I think that if you have the chance to win anything in the postseason, you don't need to go on a 3-day bender, but you need to celebrate. You better be breaking out the champagne, put those goggles on, get it in your eyes, feel the burn, because you may never get back there. You may never experience that again. You may not even win the wild card. You may not get to the division, the league division series.
I like this, Dani. I like this. This is like live every day as it comes to you.
Totally.
It's embrace life.
Baseball.
It's really good. I really like this. You know what? Don't scale it back. I'm changing my opinion because you've convinced me.
Yeah.
Just have a party.
You know what I mean?
Have two parties.
162 games. Obviously, no other sport comes even close to that. 162 games is a lot. These guys are grinding it out. And they have no breaks. Sometimes they could go 2 or 3 weeks without a day off. And people don't realize that they're getting to the ballpark at noon and they're leaving at maybe midnight, maybe 1 a.m.
Yeah.
It's a lot. And so the opportunity to celebrate whatever feat it may be, whatever you did, balls to the wall, you need to go all in. That's
my
opinion.
You know what? You're right. I can't even believe that I started this saying, like, you need to save some of it for later, because that's not true. As a huge fan of RuPaul's Drag Race, like, some of the advice that Ru always gives is, like, don't save your best dress, because you might get cut.
That's right.
You might get eliminated in the very first episode, and then you're like, oh, well, I was just holding back. Why?
Yeah.
Why were you holding back?
Just totally.
You know what? You, RuPaul, I trust you both.
All right.
So
there we go. Starting off Wednesday right. The other thing I want to bring up is another scenario. So Ben Zobrist said it would be satisfying to win in St. Louis on their home field to clinch the division, mm-hmm. which they can do this week. Those are pretty bold words, Ben Zobrist.
Yes.
So would you rather win on your rival's home field or win at home with your fans?
Here's the thing with the Cubs-Cards rivalry, which I am fascinated by, and if you want to know a little bit more about it, you can go to Cut 4 a little bit later in the week,
yeah.
depending on what happens clinch-wise. But you can. We just recently did kind of a deep dive into that rivalry, because I feel like if you're not from the Midwest, you might not appreciate it. And you
yeah.
also might think, like, oh, the greatest baseball rivalry is the Red Sox-Yankees, which is a really good rivalry,
of course.
I also think that Cards-Cubs is really ignored. It's like a century-old rivalry. It's
yeah.
really intense.
It's like the B-team rivalry.
Yeah. But also, it's like, embedded deep. So we
yeah.
kind of like, how long has this been a rivalry? Oh, since 1885? That's bananas.
No big deal.
So
before we were born.
Yes, before we
were
born.
A few years.
Just a couple. Just a couple years. We are ageless witches. So so I kind of get his impulse to want to because the rival, because it would be such a good slap
in the
face.
But Ben Zobrist is not, he wasn't grown through the Cubs organization.
Right.
That's the other thing, too, that kind of is like, do you really feel that way? Like, are you just holding on because it's Cubs Cards?
I mean, but he was also part of a Cubs team, a historical
True.
Cubs team, and has been really embraced by that fan base. Like,
yeah.
probably our most beloved post over years is when he biked to Wrigley in his uniform.
Yeah.
People loved that. Like, it appealed to something deep down and emotional and childlike.
He's just so all-American. I feel
yes.
like he could win every single baseball fan's heart. He could play for all 30 teams,
and
every fan base would love him.
But that is interesting. I think if I were a baseball player, I would rather clinch on a home field.
Yeah.
Because then all of your fans are there, and they sing "Go Cubs, Go" for 10 hours, and
yeah.
you can hear it. And
you can go join them.
Ohio, probably. Like, yeah.
yeah.
And that's really great. But I understand that after having so many historical experiences in 1 year, you're like, okay, well, we won the World Series for the first time in 100
what
years.
What
like,
now?
What next? I guess just mocking the Cards, that's a thing that we can do. Like,
I guess. I mean, listen,
yeah.
I'm all about the competition. I don't – obviously, I'm a Cardinals fan. But
right.
to hear someone say that and kind of stir the pot and spice it up, I'm into it.
Oh.
I'm into it. But I'm more into it because I think that also fuels the Cardinals to be like, ha, Ben Zobrist, you think you're going to have your team clinch here in St. Louis? No, 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 my friend. Like,
yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And it's coming down to the last day. The Cardinals are playing the Brewers for their last series. So, and the Cardinals and the Brewers are duking it out right now for that second wild card spot in the NL. So I think it's just real fun right now.
Yeah, I do think it is really fun. Wait,
yeah.
would you rather, if you were a baseball player, home field or main rival?
For clinching a division,
yeah.
on the road against
oh,
my rival.
Oh,
on the road
the
against my
you're
rival.
Like, oh, and because you're in the same division.
Yeah.
It's a, yeah.
But, and the thing, too, people don't realize is that there are probably almost as many Cubs fans in St. Louis as there are Cardinals fans for that game.
Yeah.
It's kind of a home and home game.
I was watching the game last night, and I was actually really surprised by how much blue I saw.
Yeah.
There.
Wait, so
yeah.
this is a quick, funny story. I went home for Mother's Day. The Cubs were in town. And I took my mom. She had never been to New Busch Stadium. And my aunt had, I don't think, been to a baseball game. I'm not sure. And the Cubs were there. And the starting lineups were revealed. And my mom and my aunt were clapping for the Cubs starting lineup. Because they just were excited to be there. But then someone from the Cubs got a hit. And there were so many people standing and cheering that I was really confused for a second. I was like, wait a second. Why are so many Cardinals fans? No, no, no. Those are Cubs fans in St. Louis. And my mom and my aunt were just so confused. They're like, why are so many people cheering for the other team in this stadium? But it is true. Like, they travel really well, especially to St. Louis. So
That's what's great about that rivalry, yeah. too, I think. It's is cool. That it's that because it's Midwest, like, that fandom spreads really far, whereas, like, Red Sox, Yankees, you don't see a lot of Red Sox fans in Yankee Stadium or right. vice versa without, like, a lot of anger and
yeah,
stress.
Totally.
My Yankee Calmer fan friend did once get kicked out of Fenway, and honestly, he probably deserved it, so it's what it is. And for a while, they tried to make Tigers-Pirates a thing, like, that is a rivalry, because it's Rust Belt teams, and we're yeah. close, but, I mean, different leagues, it doesn't really work as well, because if we beat the Pirates, like, so what? We can still win our own respective right. divisions, right? So it's not as exciting, and now it's more like, oh, we go in on the all-star vote together, like, vote for us as a pair.
Yeah, whatever you can do,
the
right?
the opposite of a rivalry. So I really like rivalries like this, because I feel like since in the NHL, the Avalanche and Red Wings rivalry is no longer a thing,
yeah.
I have nothing. I have Cubs Cardinals.
There you go. Everyone can have it.
Yeah.
You know what? We will give it to America. We're that
the
nice
gift
of people.
To
we'll
America.
Give you, whoever wants the rivalry, you can have
the
it.
The Midwest gift to America.
That's right. Okay, so I'm going to jump to fill in the blank, because we have a couple really good things that we're going to get to. Let's start with Colin Kaepernick. So, obviously, the reason Sunday happened is because of Colin Kaepernick. It's because of a lot of reasons, but it's because Colin Kaepernick took that knee, and we talked about this last week and how it's not being overlooked, but I think people sometimes are forgetting why these players
yeah.
can do this now and have less risk towards it. But it's looking like Kaepernick may not get a job in the NFL this season. His next job should be blank.
I feel like he already is doing his next job. So I had trouble thinking, like, I'm not going to be like, an astronaut, like a fireman.
Yeah, I was wondering if you were going to go, like,
yeah, no.
off the deep end.
Because I don't really know how to describe what it is in one word that he's doing right now, but I do feel like he's already doing what he is doing.
Yeah.
Is that he's speaking, he's basically like an organizer. He's an activist. He's a representative of his community. Like, those are all legitimate things that he's doing.
Yeah.
And, like, we can talk about this in depth later if we want to, but I agree with you that a lot of people are forgetting what this whole take a knee is about and where it originated with Colin Kaepernick's protesting. And like you said, he's probably not going to get a job in the NFL this season, which is like, okay, we saw a lot of owners come out. And
a lot of owners.
And be
some
part of
this. Donated to the president's yeah. campaign.
And it's like, okay, sure,
yeah,
but like you said, Cap
still
doesn't
not
have
has
a job.
He doesn't have a job.
So
yeah,
yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, yeah, this is we could get into this forever. I don't know if that is that the end all be all. Okay, Cap got a job. Now we can go back.
No, I mean, I think it's about trust, right? Which is that can we? These people are saying things that look good that are so like
true.
So, like Shad Khan out there arm in arm with players, like that is a good optical image, but. Donate $1 million to Trump. Cap doesn't have a job. So it's like, okay, you can say you're standing or
yeah.
you're kneeling, but do your actions outside of this moment make a difference?
Right.
I feel like probably not, and you're doing it for the good optics.
Yeah.
It's also like, are you protesting the fact that Trump said something mean about you, or are you getting on a knee because you believe that police brutality and systemic racism are problems we need to address?
Yeah, definitely.
So.
It's a lot. It's,
yeah.
It's so... It's a tangled web right
yeah.
now. So we're not gonna dive too deep this week because we'll have all season to talk about it. But I'm gonna go with it. Looks like Colin Kaepernick won't be getting a job in the NFL this season. His next job should be continuing to do exactly
yeah,
what he's
good
doing.
For us.
Thank you, Gemma. Yeah, I think you're straight on with that. I think he's sometimes. So I equate this to when you have a friend for a long time and then you're not friends with that person anymore and you don't understand why. I think that people come into your life for a reason, a specific time, to serve a purpose. Some people are forever. Some people are really fleeting. Some people are whatever it may be. I think that, like, he is exactly where he's supposed to be. I don't think he's supposed to be playing in the NFL right now. I think, he's serving a way bigger purpose off the field. And I hope he continues to do exactly what he's doing. I hope he gets the chance to play because he wants to play. And he deserves to play. And he's good enough to play.
Mm-hmm.
He can compete. He's just as good as... you know, most of those guys out there. He can do the same exact job.
And
so.
Clearly better than
right,
a number
of
people
well.
On the field. But I do, again, I think it's about just backing up what you think you're saying. It's
yeah.
like, if it's really okay for this to be a thing, then someone should hire him, and that's the truth. And if it's not, which it seems like maybe it's actually not okay,
Lots to come.
Yeah.
Lots to come. All right, Lonzo Ball getting an entire website devoted to him. This website is on USA Today, by the way. This is USA Today supporting this. Lonzo Ball getting an entire website devoted to him is blank. By the way, the website is called Lonzo Wire. Keep your eyes on the ball.
Is an interesting one-trick pony. I mean, it's more like, I don't know who's going to care about this that much, but it is like, oh, did you know? It's like a funny fact.
Yeah.
Much less than, to me anyway, a serious endeavor. Sorry, but that's how I feel about it.
Entitled, Gemma. Entitled to that opinion. Lonzo Ball getting an entire website devoted to him is a waste of internet space.
Wow. The internet is limitless, but it's a waste of space. Wow. Fire. Why?
Coming in hot. I mean, why don't we give an entire page to people who are doing really great things in the world and making change? We're giving a page to a guy who, it's like his brothers, it's about his dad, and it's about him. I mean, I think we have enough of him. Do we not have enough of him?
Well, the internet doesn't, like, it. I mean, I guess it could conceivably run out
the
of space.
The limit does not exist.
But
I know.
It's not like, it's not like because this page exists, we had to cut a page about, like, firemen saving kittens.
I know, but I don't see any pages devoted to firemen saving kittens.
I feel like you need to go to Tumblr because you will find one.
That's a deep, dark hole I can't go down. All right. Aaron Judge breaking Mark McGwire's record feels blank.
Delightful. I like Aaron Judge. He's a fun player. I am always in favor of people breaking records.
Yes, agreed.
Yes.
Agreed.
Yes.
Aaron Judge breaking Mark McGwire's record feels right. It was about time.
Yeah, it was about time. And I also think that there is something about this season with Giancarlo and Aaron Judge and JD Martinez, even though he's been flying under the radar a little
Cody
bit.
Cody Bellinger.
When I was really like super, super into baseball as a kid, it was because of the home run race.
Yeah. And well, the single season home run record was also beaten this year.
Yes. Well, yes. So.
Technically.
So yes. It's been, that excitement is nostalgic for me. And I think it's fun. And I like seeing record chases like that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
We've seen a lot of different records have been broken.
Yeah.
Have been broken this year. Yeah. All right. Dwayne Wade signing with Cleveland is blank for the rest of the league.
Is on trend for the rest of the league. I had trouble making a value judgment on this because it seems like whatever feels like a super team is the way to go now, and that's just kind of what everyone does.
Yeah.
It's hard to say if that's good or bad because we do not necessarily want to see finals every year that are just the Golden State Warriors crushing everybody.
Yeah.
Because it's going to get boring. Or the Cavs. So it's going to get boring. But also, like, if that is the case, like, nobody wants to see one really, really good team crush a mediocre team every year. So, like, I guess if you're going to have two super teams, at least it'll be competitive. Like,
maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
What do you think?
Dwayne Wade signing with Cleveland is on the radar of the rest of the league, but mm-hmm. I don't think will, in the end, be the reason the Cavs make it to the playoffs.
I just feel like NBA, which is a really fun sport, is getting to, like, European soccer levels of competitive balance, which is to say that there are two good teams, the end.
Yeah, and the thing is that just because you bring a guy in doesn't mean he's going to mesh with everybody else. And the reason I don't really, like, I don't sink my teeth into the NBA is because I don't enjoy watching two guys be the only people on the court contributing in any way. Pass the ball, dude. Like, people like old school. People want to see more
Danny
guys.
Danny wants fundamentals.
Three touches before you shoot, you know? Like, I do want to see that. Of course I love dunks. Of course I love, you know, cross-court passes. And I love, you know, guys going all out. But I want to see everybody getting in on the action. I don't care to see, like, only two guys making a difference on the team. So
I get that.
Yeah, that's where I'm coming from.
I'm just getting bored of these two teams.
Yeah.
And it's not because they're not fun to watch. They're fun to watch. But it's like, the Twins are going to be probably in the wild card game this year. That's weird.
Well, here's a fun fact. Here's a fun fact I read on Rhett Bollinger's Twitter. Mm-hmm. No team has ever lost 100-plus games in a season and gone on to the postseason the next year.
Like, that's exciting.
Paul Molitor, hats off, dude.
If you're in Minnesota, that's fun. And I know that everyone has a lot of feelings about parody and MLB, but like, whatever. I think it's way more fun to watch these underdog teams get to play this way than to be like, oh, I guess it's the Dodgers and the Yankees every year for 5 years. Right. Like, that would be so boring.
No, anyway. Absolutely. Rockies, yeah. Diamondbacks, I'm all in. Yeah. To be honest, like, I would love to see the Rockies get that second wild card spot. I don't know if they can hang on, but I would love to see
it. The Brewers are so fun, too.
The Brewers are great. Like, Eric Thames, great story,
yeah,
man.
That whole team is so fun. I also decided last night while I was watching the Cubs-Cardinals game that I am now, I hope that the National League is what I'm really excited for.
Okay.
In postseason. So.
All right. Yeah. It's going to be fun. All right, let's do some quick hits. Kevin Durant has had what some may call a rough summer. He was on Twitter with a burner account, tweeting to himself, defending himself. And then he had this quote. I want to read you really quick. He said, this was on a YouTube comment section.
Which, okay.
Why are you on YouTube comment sections, Katie? I play basketball. I got acne. I grew up with nothing. I'm still figuring myself out in my 20s. I slide in DMs. I make fun of my friends. I drink beers. I play Xbox. I'm closer to you than you think. Are we being too harsh on him? Is he just like us? And he just happens to be famous, so it's more publicized? Or should he kind of tone it down a little bit? Because he is so famous and shouldn't be sliding in DMs.
I mean, as we've learned many a time, everyone slides in DMs. It doesn't matter how famous you are. It's weird. Everyone does it. It's weird. But, he is still figuring it out in his 20s, I guess.
Yeah.
But, I think one of the pitfalls of fame is that you have, there's less wiggle room here, is that, like, years later, he can't be like, oh, I did this really embarrassing thing. Like, oh, you probably haven't.
Yeah.
Oh, how awkward. Like, you probably haven't heard of it. Yeah. Which is like us now. We can be like, oh, God, I had like a live journal in high school. Thank God no one's ever going to see that.
Blogger.
You know?
Right.
Because we're not famous.
Yeah.
So we can do things like that. I kind of feel bad for him because why not?
I kind of feel a little bad, but I also am like, if your level of play doesn't exceed or doesn't reach a certain level, then you can't be sliding in DMs and playing Xbox and commenting in YouTube and having burner accounts. You can't do both. Like,
I mean, I don't feel like him,
you know what I mean?
Him, like, tweeting is really interfering with his practice time.
You never know. You never know. Those thumbs could be sore. We're not sure. I mean, who knows how much he's commenting on a burner account?
I guess he could be, like, disappearing down YouTube wormholes for, like, 10 hours, but I don't know.
You never know.
You never know.
I think we should cut him a little slack.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about Roger Goodell really quickly. So last Thursday, the NFLPA sent a memo asking for support for social activism. It was directed to Goodell, mm-hmm. written, assigned. What's the word I'm looking for? It was sent to. It was
addressed to. You addressed to. Fine. Yeah.
So then the president made comments on kneeling. And then that was, you know, in between Thursday and Sunday. And then Sunday, we saw a lot of people exercising their First Amendment rights.
Mm-hmm.
Goodell commented on Monday, the way we reacted today and this weekend made me proud. I'm proud of our league. What do you think about that? Do you think that he means it?
I mean, I think that he is looking out for the best interests of the NFL, and he's making this into a public relations thing.
I'm glad he said it, at least.
Yeah.
At the very least.
Yeah, I mean, I still think that I still think that his support is a little bit, like, it's like
it
equivocating. Yeah, he could do. I think a lot of people involved could do more.
Could do more.
I do, and I think that we saw that even though the way that a lot of people on Sunday protested, taking a knee, sitting out the anthem, staying in the locker room, whatever,
yeah,
that there was a lot of backlash and it was really aggressive. Like, multiple people were called racial slurs as like, in a reaction to this thing that happened during a sporting event. And those people who were calling, like, Mike Tomlin racial slurs, like, those people thought it was worth saying that publicly, like, basically jeopardizing their job because they wanted to say something really negative and hurtful.
Maybe they wanted a lot of retweets.
Yeah, maybe. But these people are now getting fired from jobs, resigning from jobs. And for them, they put that on the line. It was worth it. It's like, that's the vitriol that people are getting. So I just wish that the support was matching that. Like, the strength of the support for the specific cause was matching.
I think we'll see. I think we'll definitely see some kind of committee created within the NFL for social activism and for things of that nature and supporting people who want to take a knee and whatnot. I think we will see something created. I think it may take a while, but I think we will get there. I don't think they have a choice at this point. At this point, they are being shoved out the door of ease and a safe and just feeling unchallenged. I think it's going to change. So, all right, the last thing we have to get to was a mess in the NCAA, and I'm going to try my best to dumb this down in what I thought happened. So correct me if you think differently, Gemma. So, okay, federal government indicted 10 men so far in a fraud and bribery scheme. It involves top recruits, college programs, agents, financial planners, and Adidas. So assistant coaches from programs have already been arrested. And it's only Wednesday. We're not even close to the end of this. There was an undercover FBI agent who gathered all this intel after he was found out, right? So it wasn't that he just, like, gave it up. He was found out. He was probably given a deal and was helping the FBI. So they're still talking to people. So the worst has not even come yet. So how it works is the assistant coaches would get a payout from Adidas or agents if they steered their player to sign with Adidas once they went pro. So it's really convoluted. It's a really messy, tangled web. Five-star power forward E.J. Montgomery just decommitted from Auburn on Wednesday morning. So we're already seeing the after effects of this. We knew the NCAA, we knew college basketball was corrupt. Not the NCAA, that's another story. But we knew college basketball was corrupt. This just overall makes me really sad because college basketball is one of my favorite things to watch because they pass the ball, because every guy is still fighting for a chance to make it. He still has something to reach. They haven't reached the pinnacle. And now we're hearing these things, and it just makes me really sad for the sport and sad for the adults who are aiding in this as well, that they're so selfish in this. All sides are selfish, but it just makes me really sad.
Yeah, I just, like, this isn't like FIFA level of corruption as far as we know. Yeah.
It's only Wednesday.
When this broke, it was more surprising. It was less surprising to me that this was something that was going on and more surprising to me that it was an investigation at
with
all.
The FBI.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just because I feel like there's a lot of wink, wink, nudge, nudge stuff like that going on in college sports.
For sure.
So
this was above the NCAA's head.
We've talked about this on the pod before about how we wish this kind of stuff would get paid more attention to and cleaned up. And I can't wait.
Somebody heard us.
Yeah, that's it. It was us. We tipped off the FBI. But I will be really interested to see what happens as a result of this investigation. Like, what programs, what will happen to programs, what will happen as consequences.
Everyone's paying attention to Louisville right now.
How sponsorships will change. Like, there's going to be a lot of fallout from this, and I'm interested to see how it refracts through the wider sport. So.
Yeah, I just want it cleaned up. I want the kids to play. They're kids. Like, let's just play the game. And if you can make it to the next level, then you get to get paid. Like,
we've discussed
pay for play. We've discussed, that.
But there's, like, so much money in college sports that I think it's really easy for people to be seduced by that. And by people, I don't mean players. I mean coaches. I mean programs. I mean administrators, obviously. Because they make so much money off of these kids.
Yeah.
And at a certain point, it becomes, like, it's about making money and not about the sport.
Yeah.
And that's
not fun.
Yeah.
No. All right, so we'll dive deeper into that next week. We'll get Ash back with us. It's Wednesday. The Twins could clinch a second AL wildcard spot tonight. The Cubs are looking to clinch the NL Central. Someone is looking to clinch the second NL wildcard spot with the Diamondbacks. It's a big deal. The first wild card game, I believe, is next Thursday. It could be Yankees-Twins in the Bronx if all those things sit the same. That's if the Yankees don't catch the Red Sox in the division. What else is going on? The NHL begins in, I believe, a week and a half. What else is going on?
Everything.
This is it. This is fall is the best.
Harry Kane scored a hat trick in Champions League game yesterday. None of you care, but that's fine.
Hey, I'm all for it. Hat tricks. Let's do it. NBA Media Days. That's right. I think we'll hear a lot on the side of sports and politics. And, you know, we've said it a lot. We talked about it a lot. But can't really say stick to sports anymore. And I don't think we want to. So it's an interesting time. And there's so much to talk about. And we really appreciate you, whoever you are, listening to us today. Cut4.com to check out that Cubs-Cardinals rivalry piece. Gemma will be sharing on her Twitter account, I'm sure, because yeah, she loves to share.
I really hate tweeting, you guys.
She is not a social media mogul, but she is a writing wizard and a wizard. So with that, we'll leave you, and we will catch you next time.
Now the 2-2. Well hit, down the left field line. Way back in.